The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
I just really feel like we might have a chance here to like really help some people that were big. You know what I mean? Oh, like that in this pod, we might have a chance to like
1,000,000%.
So I brought a bunch of notes about what I went through. So don't look at me like a super nerd today.
No,
but
man,
I wanted to make sure I got my. I want to help people, dude. I never thought I'd lose this weight.
I like
dude.
A dude with notes. Especially a dude who lost 300 fucking pounds.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Look at you, dude.
Dude, I feel great, yo.
You should feel great.
I feel really, really good, dude.
You're a totally new human being.
It is, man. You know what's crazy? I don't want to get super spiritual out the gate, but I will because I think God wants me to right now because you saying that. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, in Christ, all things are a new creation, which I thought was interesting because it didn't talk about restoring the old. It says that in God, we are a completely new creation. You know what I mean? So like I was looking at it at first, like I'm restoring my heart. But then when you're saying that, I'm like, no, I didn't restore my heart. I got a whole new heart. This is a brand new heart, Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might be cloaked as the old one. But God touched it. It's a whole new heart, baby.
Well,
it's a different heart.
Every 7 years, doesn't every cell in your body get replaced by new cells? Isn't that what the number is?
That's crazy. And it happens on the
holy
number.
Throw that into our sponsor, Perplexity, and find out that's nonsense. But I think that's true. I think that's what happens. So you do have a chance to be a new human being.
And think that it would happen on a holy number like
that. It's a myth. God damn it. Shit. Every 7 years is a myth. Different cell types have very different lifespans, and some last a lifetime. I think neurons last a lifetime. 7 year figure is a rough average estimate of cell age. Oh, okay, so it's not a total myth. Not a fixed cycle where everything is swapped out all at once. Some tissues renew very fast, while others renew slowly or hardly at all, which averages out to several years if you look at all the cells together. So intestinal lining cells renew every 2 to 5 days. Wow. Stomach lining turns over roughly every 2 to 9 days. Skin surface cells replace roughly every few weeks. Liver cells are typically renewed on timescales of many months to up to a few years. Bone cells take up to a decade to fully remodel the skeleton. Muscles and cells. Anyway, cells are changing all the time.
God, it's
all
crazy.
All the time.
It's constantly renewing, baby.
Yeah.
Feels good, man. A whole different human. We were talking about it. When I first came to your club, I couldn't even walk all the way up the steps without stopping like every seventh step. And today was me and Cam did my first 10K yesterday. We did a little bit over. We did 6.5. So today was recovery run day. I did 2.5 miles. Just having a conversation with you while you're swinging kettlebells.
Yeah.
I was like, look at who I am, Joe. I'm a whole new guy.
Yeah, just chilling, doing 2.5 miles on a treadmill.
Just chatting,
wow.
Dude, just watching the Peter Yan fight again.
And you had a nice pace. You look casual doing it.
I feel good.
Yeah, you could tell you've been working. You know, it's not like a new thing. Your body's acclimated to it. You could really tell.
It's like, and I heard Tony Robbins once say that we grossly overestimate what we can do in a year and we underestimate what we can do in a decade. And for people that might be listening to this that are dealing with severe obesity, I want to give you this game. You will grossly overestimate what you can do in 90 days, but underestimate in what you can do in a year when it comes to your health. Like, it was right around my 30. I turned 41 3 days ago. It was right around my 39th birthday that I started really considering taking the step.
Ahora continuamos con el podcast, pero antes, ¿sabías que solo uno de cada 5 oyentes llega al final de un episodio? Por eso, resumimos tus podcasts favoritos. Entra en nuestra web para saber más.
I have to try to make a major change in my life. And I thought about it around my birthday because I knew my next one was 40. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't think I've ever met a 500-pound 40-year-old.
They don't
you know
come
what I mean?
Around very often. Usually that's when they
it's about
drop
it.
Off.
No, that's when it felt like I'd already cheated the game. I'd had multiple heart issues, you know? And I was like, man, I should really start trying to figure this out. I felt like I could feel myself dying, Joe. You know? And it was crazy because I spent most of my life thinking that when I got to this point, or that I never thought I'd get to this point. We'll start there as far as success. But
even your hands look smaller.
Dude,
you have new hands.
I've had to change my aura ring size 5 times in this process. I've changed clothes for 2 years straight.
I'm looking at your hands. I'm like, he has different hands
no,
now.
Dude, it's
crazy.
Crazy. Everything, dude. It's
I haven't seen you in how long? It's been at least a year and a half.
It's been a year and a half. We did the pod. I was in this pod bragging about being 420 pounds because I'd lost 120 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in here excited about those 120, you know? And I would have never guessed it. I've lost Ilya Topuria since then. You know what I'm saying? I've lost the whole whole nother, a whole nother. When my chef said it best, he said, when Charles Oliveira fell off of Michael Chandler's back, that was what you lost in the last, since the last time you've seen Joe. It'd be like if a Michael Chandler just jumped off your
Isn't
shoulders.
That crazy?
It's crazy, Joe.
It's crazy. When I go walk with my dog, I put a 45 pound plate on a pack. And when I get done with the walk, I take it off. I'm like, whew. Oh. That ain't you were walking around with an extra 300 fucking pounds.
Cam said this yesterday. It was so funny. He said, you know why you're inspiring so many people? He said, think about how much David Goggins inspired people because he went from 300 pounds to getting in shape. He said, and you've lost David Goggins at his biggest. I'd never even thought of it that way. I was like, wow. I was like, yeah, that's a whole.
You lost a whole David Goggins.
Dude, my surgeon said I have 35 pounds of skin on me now.
Wow.
I mean, you've seen it. I showed you my shirt and stuff, but it's like, it's crazy, dude.
That's crazy. Just 30 pounds, 5 pounds of extra skin.
Just extra skin.
That's crazy.
It's just hanging off the front of me right now. Somebody said, doesn't that hurt? I was like, not as bad as the 500 that was hanging. I'll take these 35 over that all day, dude.
In reflecting on personal growth and the journey to healthier habits, crucial insights about addiction were shared, highlighting the importance of support systems. As the conversation transitions, fresh perspectives on maintaining positive environments and surrounding oneself with uplifting influences will be explored. Could this be the key to lasting change?
Leave me alone. You know what I mean? I get weird.
Off.
I get weird, man. I get weird. I feel weird if I don't do it. And I know people are like, that's horrible. There's something wrong with you. Sure. But it's a good thing wrong with me. I'm addicted to a good thing.
Right.
I'm addicted. I'm addicted to staying healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
They say addicts addiction swap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never had a bad addiction, fortunately. But I've had a bunch of addictions. You know, I've had, like, video game addictions. I'm addicted to playing pool. I was addicted to martial arts. But I've been addicted to, like, things that are beneficial, luckily. Right. Luckily. Yeah. But I'm scared of all the other ones. I know it's the same thing.
How much of that do you think has played a part in your environment and friend group?
It's huge. Huge. Because if you can get around a bunch of other people that are addicted to good things, then you're all just doing good things. And you're all feeding off of each other. Yeah. It's everything, man. You imitate your atmosphere, always. This is why I can't be around negative people. I'm too sensitive. When I'm around negative people, first I try to help them. Then I try to coach them. Then I try to, see the world through their eyes. And then I'm reacting to them. And then I'm like, fuck, man, you're not helping me. I'm not helping you.
Right.
You're just dragging me into your vibration. And I don't like it. And if you don't want to change, there's not much I can do with this. And so I got to just ghost you.
Yeah.
I got to separate. Because if you save a drowning man, you know, sometimes you can drown yourself.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of people out there that have wasted years and years of their life in toxic friendships.
Yeah.
You know, with negative people.
Guilty. That's what made me bring it up.
It's easy to do, man. It's not a mark on your character. It's a normal thing that people do. And when you're around a bunch of people that are positive and that are inspirational, then all of a sudden you start holding yourself accountable. You're like, you know, what would David Goggins do?
Right.
You know, like, what would Cam Haines do?
What would Cam Haines do?
Yeah, what would Jocko do? And then that's a good thing.
What would Rogan do?
Yeah.
I know you don't like it when we give you compliments, but we think about it. I said that because, like, I wondered if that was for you because the biggest thing, too, my note here is new playground, new playmates. You can't heal in the environment that hurts you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I started praying for new friends 5 years ago. Like, on my knees to God directly. Like, God, I've done everything I can for every friend I brought with me along the way. Everybody who came with me can't go with me. Everybody's not growing at the rate I'm growing.
Right.
I need new friends. I'm hanging around, you know, when I was cheating on my wife, I was hanging around people that were cheating on their wives. When I was drinking tons of alcohol and doing tons of cocaine, I was hanging around people that were doing tons of alcohol and tons of cocaine.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to change. Like,
right.
Send me some friends. Send me some new interests. And then I'd start bumping into, you know, I guess 6, 7 years, whatever it was years ago, guys like Cam Haines, guys like Goggins. And I didn't realize it then when they came into my universe. It was just from a distance in a YouTube channel, like, oh, this dude's fucking nuts. Who's this guy screaming at the camera running all these miles? Yo, who is this guy that won't quit his job, that is like the greatest bow hunter ever and runs ultra marathons and like is refusing to quit his job? The internet's like campaigning, quit your job, Cam. You know what I'm saying? I was like, who are these guys? Like, these guys are awesome. You know? And even then, that's where the little scared kid in me comes out, like, oh, man, but you can't do that, dude. You know how far you are away from even, like, being able to talk to a guy like that or being able to run or, like, you're just too far. You know, even down to bow hunting. I'm a felon, so I'm not allowed to possess a firearm or be within 1,000 feet of one knowingly. So I've never been able to hunt, you know? Well, but I didn't think about the loophole. Y'all know it. The bow. Yeah. Yeah. I can bow hunt.
Yeah.
You know, but also then you're 500 pounds. So it's like, am I really going to bow hunt? You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was new playgrounds, new playmates. You know what I mean? And I started really believing that and like just finding that. My uncle always said, if you hang around 9, you'll be the 10th. So just look at the 9 closest to you. And even if it wasn't a friend at first, it was just me being inspired by different stuff. Back to digging it, do it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like dig it, do it. And I got into this. I was into I signed up for the Two Bears 5K because Bert was my friend and I thought their podcast was funny. I never even met Tom. You know what I mean? I was like, this is a cool way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, like, yeah, I'm on the internet, 500 pounds, waddling down a back road going, I'm going to my first 5K in May, everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I'm like, I'm ready. And I call Cam because we're friends by then. And I'm all excited, 470, walking my first 2 miles, a mile that day or whatever it was. I walked a whole mile. Called Cam, I'm doing a 5K. Cam, I'm going to come support you. And Cam and Philip Franklin Lee walked that 5K with me. It took us an hour and a half, Joe. I mean, listen, I'm surprised Cam could have rolled faster. He could have crawled. You know what I'm saying? We watched both of his kids run by us 3 times in jeans. You know what I'm saying? And but that's like, it goes back to changing your friends. Like,
yeah.
It was a guy that wanted to lift me up. A guy mm-hmm. that Cam used to tap me on the shoulder when I was 500 pounds and go, dude, we're going to bow hunt one day. I'm going to take you bow hunt, dude. And I would remember thinking, this motherfucker's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way. Me and this dude are ever bow hunting, you know? And we're bow hunting, you know. I just came out of a blind this morning. Yeah. I've been down there bow hunting with Cam, ran my first 10K with him yesterday. But it was completely the new playground, new playmates thing for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's fuel. If you can get around people that are real positive and that are doing good things and they're excited about life, it's very contagious.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's one of the really positive things about the internet. That you can be introduced to the way these people live their lives. And you can see videos on them. You can hear them talk on podcasts. And you can realize that people like this exist. And then try to find them, you know, and try to find people like that. And try to become like them. You can. You could assume those positive attributes. And you can incorporate them into your life. It's completely possible.
Reflecting on the transformative journey of disconnecting from social media and embracing the outdoors, our host shares insights on how nature serves as a vital escape from daily pressures. Get ready as they delve into the exhilarating world of camping and hunting, exploring the beauty and freedom that comes with reconnecting with nature.
We're going to go out there and get lost in the woods.
Camp on your back.
I think we can do it, dude. Like, I think I'm going to be in shape enough to do it, you know?
Well, you're probably in shape enough to do it right now.
I'm only going to get better.
Yeah. I watched you on the treadmill today, man. You're in shape to do it right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, you could do it. It's that's a beautiful thing, man. It's a really beautiful thing. And just to be out in the woods like that I think it's like a form of vitamin that people haven't recognized yet.
It's medicine.
Yeah, there's something to it. I mean, that sounds hokey and new agey, but I'm telling you, man, if I don't get my time in the woods at least a couple times a year, and I really want to do it way more often. I just can't. I'm just too busy. But it empties all the bullshit out of my life. The mountains don't give a fuck what's going on in your life or how many likes your last fucking social media post got or who's upset at you. They don't care, you know? The mountains are the mountains. Those animals don't give a fuck if you just won the Grammy. You know, they don't give a shit. Oh, Jelly Roll's here. Let me offer him my vitals.
No, sir. Not the case at all.
There's no charisma out there. There's no cult of personality. There's no, it's just wild. And it's beautiful.
You always been outdoorsman?
No, I used to fish when I was a kid. I used to really love fishing. And, you know, then I got away from all of it for a long time until Ranella took me hunting. And that's when I got that mule deer, that one that's sitting on the table right there, that was the first animal I ever shot.
Bow or rifle?
Rifle. That was a rifle. And then Cam took me on my first hunt with a bow. I got a black bear.
That was your first hunt as a bear?
Yeah.
God. I'm trying to get him to take me one of those in May.
It's good.
And I want to do elk next year.
Bear is a good one because, first of all, it's scary. you know, which I think is good. And
dude, that's fucking
there's something about
out,
eating a bear that's just wild.
They're kind of fatty, right?
Feels crazy. Yeah, well, not that bad. I mean, they definitely have a lot of fat on them. They taste good. That's a big misconception. I mean, I've never eaten a grizzly bear, which I've heard are pretty rough. But my friend Ryan Callahan just shot a grizzly bear, and he says it's delicious. I think the thing about a bear that's a little daunting for a lot of people is trichinosis. And you have to cook a bear like 100 and I think the number is 160. I think that's what it is, where you got to make sure that meat is 160 degrees. Yeah. You know, so you don't get any parasites, because trichinosis is rough.
God, I can't believe your first bow hunt was a bear. I'm on my first bow hunt as we speak.
Yeah.
And it's for a deer. And I needed to do this if I'm going to see a bear. I am out there, I mean, stomach and heart and stomach and pants.
Well,
the whole
I think
out.
Cam
hold
took
out.
Me bear hunting because in Alberta, the way they do it, it's they do it over bait. So they set out oats and they use beaver carcasses and all these different things. So the animals, and people are like, oh, that's cheating. Listen, there is no other way to find these animals in Alberta. You're talking about dense forest that looks like a box of Q-tips. Like, you can't see shit out there. You're not gonna find them before they see you coming or hear you coming or smell you coming. If you want to hunt them, you have to use bait or you have to use dogs. And you know, that's how they used to hunt them in a lot of places. They used to, you know, tree them with dogs, then people would shoot them. And people are like, well, that's horrible too. But you have to control their populations. If you understand wildlife biology and wildlife management, you must control the populations of predators. And then, you know, like John and Jen up in Alberta, where they took me, they know how to cook bear, like really good. Jen is an excellent cook, and she'll cook a bear roast, and she rubs it down and puts it in a Traeger, and they'll slow cook it for 12 hours.
They're smoking the bear. Was it the bear you killed?
God.
You get to eat that one?
We definitely ate some of that too. And there's another thing that Ranella taught me called bear candy, which was great. It's like basically like it's like Chinese food. It's like sweet and sour bear.
Wow.
It was really good. Yeah. And then Cam brought over some bear sticks. He gets some meat sticks made at this one butcher that he goes to, this one meat processing place. But bear is the misconception is that bear tastes bad. It does not taste bad. It tastes like beef. It tastes like a weird beefy kind of animal. You know, here's a weird fun fact. When settlers or the pioneers first were making their way across North America, they didn't eat deer. They were eating bear, and they were using deer for skins. So a deer skin was worth $1, and that's where the term buck come from.
No fucking way.
Yes. The term a buck comes from the price of a deer skin.
No, and they were just throwing the meat away.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. How long ago was this?
1700s, okay. 1800s. They didn't know any better. Wow. Not only that, you know all those buffalo that people shot? Like, buffalo is like very expensive meat. It's delicious. It's fantastic. I think it's superior to beef. They didn't eat the beef. They didn't eat the buffalo.
Wow.
They were eating their tongues. They were killing them initially for their tongues, and then they would pickle the tongues and send them to New York. And people in New York were eating pickled buffalo tongues.
Wow. They were throwing away thousands of pounds of buffalo, good buffalo meat.
Yeah. Oh,
whoa.
My God. Thousands of pounds. And then they started using their skins, so buffalo hides became valuable. But it wasn't the meat that they were after, which is crazy because they basically almost made them extinct. They came like within a hair's breadth of making bison extinct in North America.
God, just by giving away tongues.
Well, also because they opened it up to the market. So market hunting was a giant problem with wildlife in North America. So what that means is they didn't have refrigeration back then, right? So you needed a constant supply of meat. And, you know, you could salt things down and transport them that way. And there's a bunch of different ways to avoid the breakdown of bacteria. But essentially, there was no fucking freezers, you know? And so market hunting almost wiped out all the whitetail. It removed elk from most states. You know, the states that are in that have elk, wild elk right now, are a tiny handful of the states that used to have elk in like the 1600s, the 1700s. It's all the settlers came from, you know, wherever, and they shot them all.
Wow.
And they shot them all and brought them all to market. You know, that was a lot of it. Yeah. And so then they made market hunting illegal. And then, you know, they designated areas public land. And, you know, this is the Teddy Roosevelt thing. And what they did was really an amazing. But what they did an amazing example of conservation in North America that really doesn't exist anywhere else is our wildlife management and also our natural resources, public land management. So we have public land in North America where you could apply for a tag. You could get it like we did with that mule deer. We shot that mule deer in Montana. We got a tag and we went out into the Missouri Breaks. And then we, you know, found that animal and shot it and ate it. And anybody could do that. It's part of you being an American. If you, you know, fill out the right paperwork and pay for the tags and all that pays for the management of this land and for wildlife biologists and park rangers and all those kind of different people that game wardens that right. that help, you know, keep all this stuff managed.
Wow. See, I didn't even know you could hunt public lands until recently whenever Cam and them were fighting back about the bill that was trying to get rid of some of it.
Yeah, man. They were trying to sell off some public land. Yeah. It's a fucking dangerous slippery slope. Yeah. And you can't let that happen ever.
It's kind of like freedom of speech, man. Any infraction of freedom of speech
yeah.
is a complete infraction uh-huh. of freedom of speech.
Yeah. You know, so. I mean, it's deteriorating really badly right now in the UK.
I'm loving the outdoors, though. I'm loving learning about it. Like, even hearing you talk, I'm just over here like, yes.
Oh, it's an amazing thing.
This is new
thing.
To me, you know? I just got my first hunting license yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Day before yesterday. So it's a big deal for me.
That's awesome.
You want to hear my first big amateur mistake I made?
Sure.
This is a good one. I told you one of them, but I'll tell you the one I didn't tell you. It's way better.
As the excitement of the hunt intensifies, a crucial backdrop unfolds about navigating the unique challenges of bow hunting, especially the emotional stakes that accompany the experience. Listeners will dive into the compelling discussion on personal transformation and the importance of redemption. Exploring the impact of these themes on hunting, what does it truly mean to seek a second chance?
Like, mm-hmm. all right, next year, I'm not going to run that 5K in an hour and a half. I'm going to do it in 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, these are those markers. So I want to go to them and go, look, I understand if you've ever raped somebody or killed somebody, but I think that there should be some path to redemption, even if it takes 30 years. Put something unrealistic up there. You can't get a speeding ticket for 20 years. But like, I think it's important for people to have a path to redemption. I'm a redemption guy. And,
yeah.
You know, if God didn't just show me so many paths, you know what I mean?
I think it's one of the more beautiful aspects of Christianity.
Right.
That it does offer you a path to redemption, like a true legitimate path where you can become a different person.
Literally.
Yeah.
And people not judge you on the old person anymore. Judge you
it's
on the
just,
person sitting
I get
home.
It for the public safety aspect of it. It's hard to know if a person's redeemed themselves. Right. I get that.
It's hard. And if you make the wrong decision, man, I couldn't bear the burden of your conscience of that neither.
Right.
But then you do have cases, and I know I'm not the only one, of people who have, like, even little things. Like, I mean, outside of hunting, Joe, it's not that I'm a big, you know, I don't have a, I just wish I could protect myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'm $1 million plus a year in security. I'd cut that bill in half tomorrow if I had a right to carry.
Right.
You know what I mean? For
right.
sure. You know. But at least let me hunt. I mean, my heart's right. I just want to feed the family and go out and spend some time with the boys and do some population control. We don't kill them deer in Tennessee. They're taking over anyways. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot down there.
They're everywhere. Not like these monsters down here, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that place that you're at is a particularly unique place.
Cactus Jack.
Giant deer.
Dude, it's called Hunt Cactus Jack. I found this out. Do you remember the old vice president from here was called Cactus Jack?
No.
Will you look this up, Jamie? This is a cool story. So the vice president, I think it might have been during Roosevelt's term, maybe even, or one of those, maybe Teddy. But his vice president was a Texas governor or something. And the guy was famous because he's the one who tried to make the cactus plant the Texas state plant. So they called him Cactus Jack because of that. And then Cactus Jack.
There he is.
Look at him, dude.
He looks like a cactus.
He looks like Cactus Jack. Yeah,
wow.
Jim Nance Garner.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a lawyer, longtime congressman. He was the one who tried to make the cactus as the
state
flower for Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. Who was the vice president to Roosevelt? Yeah.
The effort failed in favor of the blue bonnet. But Cactus Jack moniker stuck with him throughout his long political career.
So when he opened this place how many years ago, the guy who bought it from him was super excited. He told me the story last. Yeah, look at how gangster that is. That's Cactus Jack,
dude. Cigar with two pistols.
We could never get away with that right now in politics.
I know, right?
But Cactus Jack, but the ranch is great. The guy who owns it, Mr. Jerry, was telling me the history of it last night. They kept true Texas deer genetics. A lot of the Texas ranches will have import genetics. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Cactus Jack was big about making this a tried and true Texas ranch. And he is dead set on dying by keeping it that way. This guy, Jerry, that owns it.
Well, it's like, especially South Texas, hunting white-tailed deer is like a religion.
It's a religion, dude.
Yeah, it's a big thing for those folks. They
big deal.
And to grow big deer down there and to make sure that you manage the genetics correctly, like you don't shoot any animal that's under like 6 or 7 years old. And yeah. You know, there's a place that I hunt in Utah that does that with elk. It's like they... A really well-managed place does that. They make sure. So, like, there's some places where when they have hunting season, everybody just goes out into the woods. Kids get a day off school, and they shoot everything they can, which is great. You get meat. It's great. But the problem is if you want very impressive animals that are mature, which is also better for the entire genetics of the herd, because these are the animals that have lived a full life, they've spread their genes, and then you shoot them at the end of their life. So they've had a long, full... And by the way, when you're getting an animal that's 7, 8, 9 years old, they really don't have much time left.
Well, you know, they were telling
reality.
Me, you're so right about that. They were saying some of them, they'll try to wait and let them have another year, and they won't make it anyways.
Yeah, they won't make it through the winter.
Sometimes they'll just, you know, they just won't make it. He said, so they've, they're dead. This guy is doing it. I mean, obviously, I'm not the case study. Cam should talk about it because I've been on one hunt. But the deer I see on my property back home compared to these deers would eat those deers. You know what I'm saying? Like, these deers would fuck those deers in the butt. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a totally different thing.
It is a different thing. But that's a very exceptional place.
So I go to put my hoodie on. That's where I fuck up, Joe. I'm cold in this fucking blind, and I say, Cam, hold my bow. And I should have said, Cam, can I put my hoodie on? Because Cam would have been like, no. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I was like, all right. And in my mind, Joe, I was going to slide one arm through, and I was going to wait 30 seconds to slide the other arm through because I didn't want to be shaking if I got my shot. And I seen my buck across the field.
Right.
Bubba, I put first arm through, and I looked up. It was like a movie, Joe. All three deer in the field went right into my soul and ran away. And I looked at Cam. I was like, that was me, huh? He was like, oh, yeah. They don't like that stuff. I was like, fuck.
You can't.
Never
you can't
came
move.
Back. No, never came back.
The sound is like they hear everything like 10 times louder than you. Look at their ears. Oh. Their ears rotate and turn and do this. Those are antenna listening for predators.
No.
So they hear a ruffling of clothes. They're like, what is that shit?
They were like, that's a human.
Yeah, that's like, a fucking human. And when they're down there, that's the main predator.
Yeah.
The main predator is us.
No. It was amateur hour at the Apollo, dude. At least Cam got a hoot out of it. I learned a big lesson, of course, too, you know. But
bro, they look at you, too. When a whitetail busts you, they look at you like, that's a weird look.
No, it's like, it's almost like, when I say they looked right up at me, Joe, it was like from feed to eye contact with me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I felt like a deer in headlights. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, he got me.
Well, people put felt on the rest just so that when the arrow slides, it's not making any sound.
God,
you got to be real slow in how you draw back.
But it's something else. It's like rifle hunting, which I can't rifle hunt, but we have a bunch of stands on my property. And I'll go sit in them just to watch deer with my little boy. And, you know, that thing will be... They're 2 football fields away from where the deer are. You'll be sitting up there with a heater on, listening to a podcast, smoking a joint, watching a deer like, if I had a gun, I'd kill it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I showed up first day with Cam, and I got my little weed pen in my pocket. And as soon as we sat down, and I seen a buck from here to a little bit past Jamie from me, I was like, oh, yeah, we can't smoke in here. I was like, this is real, dude.
It's a totally different thing.
It's a different fear, too. Like, you get excited when you see one out of a blind from 100 yards, 200 yards, 50 yards, 70 yards, but... When you see one 20 yard, 30 yards away from you, and you're sitting there with just a stick with a piece of metal on it, kind of, you know what I'm saying? And a string, ultimately, you got a glorified, what came right after the slingshot.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're like, this is me and this animal right now.
Yeah.
It is the fucking craziest feeling I've ever felt in my life. Dude, I wrestled at SummerSlam. It felt like that. It felt like when Logan Paul was going to jump through the table. It was that feeling the whole time. Yeah, this is it.
Before diving into the next part, it's crucial to grasp the intense mental focus bow hunting requires. This journey teaches patience, mindfulness, and the art of staying calm in the moment. As the discussion unfolds, they'll explore the joys of mastering skills and the deeper connection to nature that comes with each experience. What surprises await in this adventurous pursuit?
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I want the first one to be the shot. I want to be proud of it. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't want to harm an animal.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't want an animal to suffer. I want to double lung it. I want to drop it like a movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if I have to sit here 8 more times to get that shot, no problem.
It'll just make it the
I'm just getting better. I'm learning more. Mm-hmm. I'm learning how to listen for stuff. I'm seeing things. Mm-hmm. Now I know when they're looking, what the wind means. I learned what barometric pressure is and what it does to them. It's all kind of cool stuff, dude. I'm like a little nerd there. I'm like the little kid walking around asking questions all day.
Well, there's a really big learning curve to hunting, particularly bow hunting, and it's really interesting. Like, you just keep learning stuff. Like, I've been doing it now for, I guess I've been bow hunting for 12 years or 13 years. I guess 12 years, and I'm still learning. I learn all the time. I mean, I'm, you know, it's one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done, you know, and especially in terms of like getting pretty decent at it, getting proficient at it, and having a bunch of success, and success begets more success. I love it. And then when you eat it, it's different than any other meal you'll ever eat. When I pull an elk steak out of my freezer and I thaw it out and then I throw it on the Traeger and I throw some olive oil on it and I like this Saskatchewan, blackened Saskatchewan rub that they have. It's my favorite for elk. And I get that sucker up to 120 degrees and then I bring it inside and I sear it on a cast iron frying pan. Then I eat it. Oh, it's magical. I remember the whack when that elbow hit him in the lungs. That whack. That sound.
How crazy is it hunting elk?
Oh, they're the craziest. Huge, right? They fucking scream.
Oh, that would scare the shit out of me.
It's magical. I hunted with Cam this September, and I got this elk that was, he was coming over the mountains with his cows, and we saw him, we were like, whoa, that's a good one. And, like, we got to try to get to him. So we had to go over the top of this ridge and go down into this valley and go through the woods. And as we got to where he was, another elk stole his fucking cows. And so by the time we got to the woods, we were trying to, like, we were following the screams because he was still screaming, they were screaming, and the cows were. So we get through the woods. And then we realize, oh, shit, he got his cow stolen. So his cows, we saw the last of his cows run up this hill, run up the side of this mountain, and he was going after them. He was, like, slowly, and then my guy Colton that I was with, he called. He went, you know, he busted this little elk, the cow elk call, and you see the elk go like this. It's like a record skips, you know, like, and then he turns, and he's like, slowly starts walking. I was at full draw for like a minute and a half behind this tree, just holding for a minute and a half while this dude was, he was about 25 yards, but he did not like it.
No.
He's like, something's going on here. I don't see the cow. What the fuck is happening here? So he went around sideways to try to get our wind. And as soon as he went around sideways, as soon as he got clear, I saw him put that pin on him, saw swack. He hit him. He was dead in 15 seconds. 15 seconds. He got hit. He's like, what the fuck? He turned, started going downhill, and then fell and rolled. And it was over like that. And then I think of that moment every time I eat it. Every time I'm cutting into that steak, I think of that crazy moment. You know?
God, that is a wild moment, dude.
And it's also after miles and miles of trekking up these mountains. You're at 7,700 feet above sea level.
And,
and
you have to hunt elk. You don't sit for them, right?
No,
you got to kind of go out and find.
There's no sitting.
Yeah,
there's
you go no find them.
You're fucking exhausted every day. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's
cardio.
What I'm training for, Joe Rogan.
Oh, 100%.
That's what I'm getting in shape.
When June starts rolling around, that's when I start really ramping up the cardio. That's when I start ramping up the Airdyne bike and ramping up the steps. When I start doing step ups on boxes and I start doing like
when is elk
body
season?
Weights. It's September.
Wow.
So right around June is when I really just kick into leg strengthening, leg conditioning, and cardio time. Because you know you're going to have to go. They live in the mountains, man, which is interesting because they didn't used to be like, they were more like living in the plains until people start fucking with them. And then they like realize like the best way to get away from people is to get way up where it's difficult
right,
to get to.
Yeah.
So if you want to get them, you got to go where it's difficult to get to. So you got to get in shape.
Yeah, that's the stuff. Like, I hope somebody's listening to this right now going, man, I'll never be able to elk hunt. Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
dude.
You can.
I promise you can.
Can you walk? Then you can do it.
You can do it.
You can
just
do
start
it.
Walking tomorrow, baby, and start going forward.
Yeah.
Even then, don't, you know, it's your big goal. Put little goals in between there. That was another big one for me. Was like, I had these big goals, but I didn't get, they were so far, I realized I'd lose sight of them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to set them little baby goals in the middle. You know what I mean? Those little, like, you know what? I'm going to walk a mile. 5 days this week, no matter what the weather is, I'm going to walk a whole mile. I'm going to walk to my mailbox and back, whatever your starting point is. And then I encourage you to start making the decision that's hard, because me and Cam talked about this when we ran our 5K. There's a hill. My driveway comes down a driveway, comes down a hill, and you bust a right, Joe. And then you can go left into a neighborhood, the same run I run every day. Or you can go right up a hill. And it is a hill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the first day, I came out, and I looked up that hill, and I looked to the left, and I took 2 steps to the left. And I stopped, and I told myself, I was like, I'm learning about stories we tell ourselves. The story I've been telling myself my whole life was take the easy way out. My entire life, Joe. I have always looked for the path of the easiest, like A to B straight line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I break that today. I turn right. Fuck you. Ooh. You feel it, don't you?
It's big.
Right then, big.
It's a big move.
Big moment when you're like, no, yeah. I'm hitting that fucking hill. You know, because I'm big, fat people hate hills. Stairs, we hate all that shit. So I'm like, hit the hill. You know, and I'm walking and I'm stopping. And I'm walking and I'm stopping. And I'm walking and I stop. I just kept going. And when I got to the top of it, there was a telephone pole up there and I went and slapped it. Mm. I just slapped the shit out of it. Ugh, and I felt so achieved.
Navigating life's challenges, the importance of tackling fears head on becomes crystal clear. Moments of parental connection often emerge from facing obstacles with courage. In the upcoming discussion, hear a heartfelt conversation about overcoming fear, the significance of resilience, and how support transforms daunting experiences into empowering milestones. What lessons will unfold?
He goes, I'm scared. And I go, dude, I've been scared for 35 years and I never admitted it, so you're already way better than me. So you're already twice the man I am. I said, now what we got to do is we know what we're feeling. What are we going to do? It's me and you, buddy. What are we going to do? He goes, well, I don't want to drive it. I go, what if I ride with you? He goes, will you sit on the back of this? Now, he's on a 90. You know what I'm talking about? You know, for people at home, this is a 9-year-old four-wheeler. And even then, I start just thanking God in my head where I was like, I'm ready for this. For the first time ever, I'm not too fat to get on this thing with him. Right. Probably going to rub a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But I can get on the back of it. Yeah. And I sit down on the back of it. And he says, we grabbed a steering wheel. I go, no, buddy, but I'll grab your waist. I said, you don't need me to touch that steering wheel. You just need me with you. Crushes it down the hill.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's awesome. Then you get to have the moment where you get to go, now what'd we learn there, buddy? He goes, I learned that I can do it as long as you're with me. I said, no, buddy, you learned that you can do it. You just thought you needed me with you.
Right.
I said, but here's the good news. Jesus is always with you, Bubba. You got this. Like, just go. Like, don't be afraid of this, man. He drove it back up the hill. So then I said, do me a favor. Just ride up top of the hill and ride back down. I'll be sitting here waiting for you. If you starts to go south, I'll run and jump on you. I'll do whatever. I'll save you. I'll die for you, boy. Just come down that hill. He drove right up the top of that hill, turned around, came right down at Joe. And it's like, I was ready for it, though. I'd already did the hard stuff that day. You know what I mean? Having an emotional moment with my son was the easiest part of my day after that. I'd already ran 3-4 miles. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd already woke up and got myself in a headspace of like, I'm going to pour into my son today. I'm gonna take him to get his favorite sweet from the Titan game. I'm going to get him a Cam Ward jersey. I'd already had a thing of ways I was going to connect with him. Mm-hmm. And then God gave me a whole new opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, God gave me a real opportunity. I was making ways to connect, like, oh, we could probably do this and this will be fun. But like, it just naturally came.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that at 500 pounds. One, I would have never been like, go up the hill. You know, 500 pounds, I'm like, you want to sit here and watch a movie? No kid wants to sit and watch a movie at 9 years old for all parents out there that are 500 pounds. You know what I mean? I'll answer for them. But to be in that kind of place with them is like the joy of life. Like, I want somebody to hear this podcast. That's why I keep saying it this way, and understand that you're not living the life you can.
Right.
And it's so, so possible. It's not easy, but it's possible and it's worth it. It's so worth it, Joe. You know
and
what I mean?
The things that are not easier are worth it. It's important to do things that are not easy. It's really important. It's like if you want real peace, peace doesn't come from rest. Peace comes from struggle.
Peace comes from struggle.
It really does. You have to. Peace comes from challenge. It comes from being excited about something, doing something difficult, figuring out you could do it, building resilience. You know, building resilience is so important. It's so important because there's just too many people that are afraid of resilience. They're afraid of confrontation. They're afraid of anything that's difficult, anything that's struggle, anything that's going to test them. They're scared of it. They don't want that discomfort. But that discomfort is when you find true peace.
There was a guy there's a famous old tale that reminded me of that. But the guy goes, a young man looks at a rich man one day, and a rich, happy man. He goes, how did you get where you are? And the rich, happy man looks at him and goes, good decisions. Two words. Good decisions. You ever heard this story?
No.
He goes, good decisions. And the kid goes, well, how did you make good decisions? He goes, one word, experience. And the kid goes, well, how did you get experience? And the guy goes, two words, bad decisions.
Yeah.
You just got to go do it, dude.
Yeah, failure. Failure's critical. Failure
go
and,
fail.
And the pain of failure is also very important. It sucks, and it's hard. In the moment, you don't think you're ever going to live past this. You're going to live in this moment forever, and I can't do this. I can't live like this. Yeah. I can't do this, but get through it.
Get through it.
Get through it, and now you have resilience.
And you'll become a whole, you'll become a better person because of it. Like,
sure.
just taking and, I used to be that way, and I'd get in shame about stuff. Like, shame was a big thing for me. I'd be embarrassed, and I'd get into a spiral where I just wouldn't deal with things. I'd be like, oh, I'm just ashamed that I didn't do it right, or I'm a fuck up, or I'll never do it right, or I'll never be able to do that. I use this kind of language. It goes back to how we talk to ourselves.
Right.
You know, it's like, this is, and your body believes it. You tell your body enough, you're never going to do nothing. Your body will start to be like, all right, we're never going to do that. You know, but it's like, I realized that it was more about actually just starting to go, nah, man, I can do that. You know what I mean? Like, I can figure that out. And now I get motivated. Every time I've left that deer blind without one of them bucks, every time we get in the truck, I'm smiles. Cam goes, how you feeling? I was like, dog, I am going to get good at this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I look at it different. I don't look at it like, oh, I suck. I look at it like, dog, I am 8 hours into 10,000 of these hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all be patient with me. I'm only on hour eight. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I promise y'all, I'll be a whole different dude.
But God, 8 hours into something like that is so nice, because you know you have so much to learn. And if you just look at it that way, like, what a beautiful blessing it is to have so many opportunities to do things, so many times that you're going to be able to learn, so much time to grow, so much time to get better. You have so much room.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're already Cam Haynes, boy, it's so difficult to get better when you're the best.
Yeah, for sure.
So hard.
Yeah, 100%. All you can do is help me.
And, you know, he's just challenged by moments. So he just experiences a lot of challenging moments, and he rises to the occasion because he knows, because he's got 30 plus years of experience doing it, and he knows how to do it. But for you, it's like you're in this beautiful place where it's all learning. Every day's a new lesson. Even mistakes, like putting your hoodie on. Okay, now we know.
Now I know. You know? I'm going to wear the hoodie. I tell you what, tomorrow night I'm going to wear the hoodie if it's 80, because I don't care. I'd rather sweat in it, and then when it gets cold, I'm ready, than be not ready when it's
cold. And you're going to have a bunch of those. I had one elk hunting this September. That we were going after these elk that were in this thickly wooded section. And we were in this open area, and we were trying to figure out where this bull is, because he was running cows through there, and you would catch glimpses of him. And so we decided to move around to this new spot. And as we decided to move around to this new spot, we were like, you know what? We're going to have to go up this ridge and go around this way and come at him from another direction. So as we started to do that, he changed. And he ran out through the woods into the clearing. And I was stuck out in the open just standing there, like staring. I'm like, fuck, if I just stayed in cover, I would have got this much. But I got impatient, and I tried to, like, run out and meet. And, you know, it's one of those lessons. Just, like, okay, now
it
next
makes me
time.
Feel better. 12 years in, that makes me feel good.
Oh, God, I'm not even close to knowing what the fuck I'm doing. You know, I need a lot of lessons.
I'm green as a pool table twice as square. It's bad. I'm out there so lost, Joe. It's got to be at least entertaining for everybody to see it.
It's so exciting, though. And you'll get that success. It'll come.
I'm having so much fun. You know, I was like, I think I'm going to get a buck this week. I believe it. But if I don't, I got so many lessons, and I'll be back the next week. They'll let me back to try.
Yeah, you'll find the moment. You'll find the moment. It's going to come. It's going to come with persistence and just putting in the time. And I feel like the universe just gives you these opportunities. And when it's there, you'll have this big burst, like this breakthrough moment. Like, okay, I did it.
Yes.
I fucking did it.
I
did it.
Me.
Okay, I'm going to cook this deer. Yeah. This deer is going to, you'll be salting that thing and slapping it on the grill and watching it sizzle.
Stop it, baby.
Smelling it. Oh, the smell. Oh. And then when you go to cook it, you're like, oh my God, this is the best food I've ever eaten in my life. This is the best bite of food, because it's a bite of food with an experience attached to it. It's not just a bite of food. And it's the best meat on planet Earth, the healthiest food you can get.
In the previous conversation, the importance of wild game and its nutritional density highlighted a transformative realization about food's connection to experience and heritage. This leads us to explore Bert's unique athleticism. As he surprisingly completed a marathon without training, showcasing his extraordinary genetics. What motivates his party animal lifestyle? And how does this intertwine with his health journey? Let's find out.
He's also an athlete, though. The problem with Bert is that dude, this is what I love about Bert that makes Bert so special, is that Bert, you remember when he ran about half marathon or marathon or something without training? Mm-hmm. Like,
he ran a whole marathon without any training at all.
That's Bert.
And he was fat.
No, that's...
He ran 26 miles.
Yeah, this is just like Bert at who he is. So
yeah,
it's that really hard thing to tell a guy. It's like, yo, be careful, Bubba. But it's also like he'd go bust a 10K out today if you made him just out of spite. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, he's got extraordinary genetics that he abuses.
The Mickey Mantle gene, dude. It's real, man. It's fucking real, dog.
Yeah, no, it is real. It is real. You know, but he's playing a game that you can never win.
Right.
You'll never win that game.
No.
That eventually, one day, your heart will go, check, please.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully he catches it before that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what everybody who loves him wants.
Yeah.
It's just, he's... Also got this mindset that his whole success is connected to him being this party animal.
It's not, though. It's connected to you being Bert. It's connected to you being one of the most genuine, sweet, funny, show-up-for-you dudes I've ever met in my life. Like, six-pack or 400 pounds, dude, your heart is the size of a horse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Bert Kreischer is the new friends. That's one of the ones I prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
Bert Kreischer, Cam Haines. I prayed for new friends. He sent me a bunch of really cool ones, a bunch of wild ones. Joe Rogan, Tony Hinchcliffe, a bunch of fuck ups, but they were good dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, real, real, slightly outside of normal people, but are great guys. You know, and Bert Kreischer's a great, his friendship's done a lot for me. I hope me showing up, he's seen me whenever at wrestling, but I think when I show up to this 5K and I do it in 30 minutes, I hope that's the moment Bert's like, all right, baby, I'm with you, Jelly. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's just got to realize that his success will always be there. He doesn't have to be drunk to have that success.
Yeah, like, hilarious.
He does Sober October sometimes, and one time recently he did it, and he called me up, and he's like, I just haven't been drinking. I feel so much better, and I really think I'm done. I go, you should be done, man. You don't need it. You don't need it. He's like, you're right. I think I'm done. And then right back to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. But in those moments of clarity, he realizes.
No.
Maybe he'll hear this and that'll be it.
I think he's funny either way.
Oh,
way. I've woke up with Bert. He's hilarious. Yeah.
He'll probably be more funny.
Bert at breakfast to me is as funny as Bert at night. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, for sure.
Same Bert.
Yeah, for sure. It's and healthier. Yeah. It's like, I've been very fortunate in life. One of the most fortunate things, though, is the group of people that I've been connected to. It's very, like we were talking about that. It's very important. It's very important. And Bert is connected to a lot of really good people. And hopefully that'll lead him on a similar, I mean, everybody has their own timeline. Everybody has their own way of doing it.
Everybody has to have their own moment too. You know, I had to have mine.
Mm-hmm.
I just, my thing for Bert or anybody out there is that if you're, just don't let it get there if you can.
Right.
I just pray, man. I feel like, I don't think I'm making this up when I say I think I was 6 to 12 months away from missing it.
Yeah.
Especially traveling. You know, I traveled 280 days a year.
Right.
At 500 something pounds,
yeah,
200
so
something flights a year, 250 flights a year. I wasn't going to be able to do it. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And lucky, once again, I had a wife that was just super supportive. She was supportive through all the phases, though. But she was just like, yo, this is time. And she went out of her way. The first 3 months of the diet, I probably left this part out because I'm embarrassed about it, but I should tell it. The first 3 months of the diet, I had to sit down with her and go, look, I need you to hide the food. Like, I will find it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need you to hide the food. So her and my daughter, Bailey, found, like, all these cool, like, I still don't know where they were. I never found it. You know what I mean? But they hid everything from me. Like, there was nights I'd walk in that pantry and it would be like a banana. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, the entire pantry was gone. I'd be like, fair. You know what I mean? Like, it was cool. But once again, it goes back to the fox, the mole, and the horse.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked for help before.
Right.
I never would get out of my own ego enough. I just say everything I was going to do and then not do it and then get mad when they ask, when they try to encouragingly.
But maybe even more importantly, you were helping yourself. It wasn't just you were asking for help. You weren't asking for help while you weren't doing anything.
Yes.
You were asking for help while you were helping yourself.
For
and
sure.
They were like, okay, I think he's really doing this.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's really a change going on.
Rain walk.
Yeah.
Whenever they. Yeah, you don't have to go. And
it's
then when I went,
that,
they cheered it.
It's a great moment that it did happen in the rain, you know, because it makes it even more significant. It makes it more, you know, meaningful.
Made it so real.
Yeah.
And I keep mentioning God because my faith in him grows so much stronger every day. But I truly believe that that was a God thing. You know what I mean? That almost
certainly
this weird
like
thing
it.
That's like, you know, you yeah. walk out and be like, you know what? Even the hill. Dude, I've lived on hills my whole life and never walked up one. I'm from Tennessee. They're nothing but hills. I go downhill. That's what I do. It's a fat person trait. You know what I'm saying? We
yeah.
look cooler, move faster, you know?
Yeah.
And immediately, just like, nah, man, we're hitting hills, dude. Like, every time I can hit a hill, I'm now looking for hills in life. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm looking for, like, how can I make this run a little harder? Like, when Cam tells me we're at mile 5, he's like, I'm proud of you. You did your PR. I was like, we better do 6.2 then, baby. It ain't a 10K if we don't do another mile. You know what I mean? Like, immediately, I was like, we got to go. It's just been, it's the effort. But helping the self, knowing you want to change, and then not being afraid to just go ask, not being ashamed to just go to your wife, because that's a little embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, hey, can you just, like, had the dark chocolate?
Yeah.
And they're WHO dark chocolate bars. Bunny's extremely healthy. You know what I mean? Like, has mm-hmm. always been. Them WHO dark chocolate bars are so good. But the problem is, I don't know how to eat one. They're only 380 calories. But if there's five of them in there,
right.
I will eat all five for sure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so some nights you leave me a little half a bar out or something. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like rations until I could control it. Until I knew that. And then now my pantry's back full.
Well, now you're addicted to the success of what you've already accomplished. Yeah. Which is a good addiction.
It's the good addiction. The
being addicted to being healthy is the best addiction you could find. Because I don't think you're going to get out of the addiction mindset. I think what addiction is, I think there's a reason why it exists in the human mind. And I think it exists because it's the same thing as obsession. And obsession allows you to be a successful hunter.
That's all for today. Visit podsummarizer.xyz and start creating summaries of your own podcast in just seconds. Don't miss it.